Shkalim Perik Base Mishnah Hey 2-5. So we've established the halacha is like Beis Hillel, that if a person sets aside money and when he aggregates the money, he says all the money I'm putting together here is for my machzor shekel, and he invests it with kedusha then and there. So then we said that the leftovers, any excess money beyond the machzor shekel required amount, would go back to him because it's a specific amount that's required. And everything else was just an accident. And it's if we possibly Beis Hillel, that if one is makdish b'taut, if one accidentally consecrates something, then it's not consecrated. And that's where our Mishnah begins, by saying, Moser Shkalim Chulin, the excess money set aside for Shkalim, the way I just described, has the status of Chulin. You can go back into your pocket, it's not consecrated. But now the Mishnah will continue to discuss a whole slew of scenarios where a person does something very similar. He sets aside money, and he says, this money here is sanctified for the purpose of X. We'll go through a number of different X's. The question is then, if there's excess funds left over after purchasing that X, what to do with that mosar, the leftover money? So the general principle is going to be that if you set aside the money for X and you had the money, had more than enough money to purchase an X, you should buy another one and do a second one. Additional of the same. In other words, that the specificity of the kedusha is there. So if you say this is going to be for an ola or a mincha or a shlamim, so then the money set aside should be for purchasing another ola or mincha or shlamim, etc., as the Mishnah will say. But there are certain things that you simply can't give another one of. There's not the opportunity to give a voluntary second one. Like, for example, a chatas and an asham, a sin offering, a guilt offering. You can't just give extra sin offerings because you feel like it. So therefore, the Mishnah will have to discuss what to do with the money that's left over when you set aside money for a sin offering or guilt offering, etc. But just remember, the case has to be where as you are collecting this money, you say, all of this money is invested with the kedusha of the chatas that I'm going to be buying. That's when you have the problem. If you're just saving money in a bank account that's earmarked for korbanos or for katos, whatever the story is, so then certainly it's not invested with the kedusha until the animal's brought, purchased, I should say, and that being the case, the problem doesn't arise. Okay? So the Mishnah says, Moser Shkalim Chulin, like we said before, excess money set aside to purchase the shekel for the master shekel, that's Chulin. It doesn't vest, it's a mistake, and therefore you put it back in your pocket. As I said previously back in Mishnah Gimel, you'll have to make sure that if you have a mixture of coins, you'll have to make sure the coin you put back in your pocket has certainly been redeemed, as I said over there. The Mishnah continues and says, Moser Asiris Ha'efa, if you have an excess money after you purchase your tenth of an Efa, I'll explain that in a second. It's a kind of chatas. The din will be that the mosro sehen, the leftovers, the extra money that you don't need because it's more than you have more money than you need to purchase this asir seifa, that will have to go in a dava to the purchase of voluntary offerings, communal offerings, the base of mikdash. As we said, there are these six shofros, like community chests set aside. We'll learn more about that in the sixth parak. And it will go into one of those pushkas, and it will be used to purchase keitz mizbeach, offerings to go on the mizbeach when the mizbeach is idle. The base of that is based on a pasuk, actually, but let me just go back now in the details here and talk about the siras ha'efa. So the siras ha'efa is an efa is a volume, it's 432 eggs volume. A siras ha'efa, also known as the isaron, is a tenth of that, so that means 43.2 eggs. So that's the volume of what? A flour. We're talking here about a scenario of what's called the minchas chote, the meal offering of the sinner. And normally when one does an avera for which that if he does it b'shogeg accidentally, so then he has to bring a chatas, a sin offering. Usually the sin offering is an animal. But there are a few specific instances, three actually, where if a person can't afford to purchase an animal, he has the option of buying a less expensive, not just a goat or a sheep, but even he could buy bird. And if he can't afford even the bird, then he could buy just buy flour, raw flour. And that's our case over here. So those specific three instances, those korbanos are called ola v'yored, which means a variable offering. This can get confusing because of the different categories, primary categories of zvachim, of animal offerings. One is called an ola, a burnt offering. One's called a chatas, a sin offering. This ola v'yored, although it has the word ola in it, has nothing to do with a korban ola. It's a kind of chatas. It's a kind of sin offering. Ola means to go up. Yord means to go down. So ola v'yored means that the amount that one has to pay for this offering is variable. It could be up or down depending on a person's financial situation. So normal people purchase an animal, poor people purchase a bird, very poor people purchase just meal, just flour. And that's what we're talking about over here. So if a person sets aside money to purchase his isaron, his 43.2 eggs volume of plain wheat flour, which we brought as a minchas chota, a meal offering of the sinner, it's just brought as is, and not even any oil put on it or frankincense, just brought like it was dry flour. A kometz is on the mizbeach, and the rest the kohen eats. So leftovers, he can't purchase another minchas chota. It's only one per customer, and therefore, if he has extra prutos, he'll put them towards nadav of voluntary offerings. The same goes for mosar kine zavin kine zavos v'kine yodos. If you have extra money left over after the purchase of a pair of birds for the zavin, that's a male zav. You remember he had. We described this not long ago. We just had this in the end of the first parak. So the and I'll keep it short here. But the zav who had three a man who had three mysterious emissions in a row. So then even on the same day though, he has to bring a pair of birds, an ol and a chatas. That's what we're talking about here. The pair of birds for the Zava, that's a woman who bled in three consecutive days between day A and 18 of her cycle. And Kine Yodos are the birds that a Yoledes, a woman, brings after giving birth, when she brings birth instead of an animal, in the case of the Ola, all detail that I described back there in the first parak. The point is, with all these things, you only bring it one time. If you're a Zav or a Zava, you're not going to bring, you can't bring a second korban. You're one set is all you need, and then you've done your duty. Same goes with the Yoledes, the one who gave birth. So therefore, the question is what to do with the extra money? And the answer is, you put in the pushka to buy Nadava, voluntary offerings for Keitz Mitzbeach. And similarly, v'chatos v'ashamos, more conventional chatos offerings for when one does an avera for which the penalty is kares, he has a b'shogeg, he has to bring a chatos. If he has leftover money that he consecrated to be a chatos, it goes to Nadava, and ashamos. Ashamos are these six categories of guilt offerings, if you will. So if you have leftover money after consecrating it, again, mosrehen nadava. All the money will be used to purchase nadava, voluntary offerings. By the way, it's not just about money, I should point that out. The truth is, if you set aside, let's say the animal was purchased, and this is now a chatas waiting to be offered on behalf of so-and-so, the Mechal Shabbos. So if so-and-so dies, and we have this animal left over, that's also a Moser Chatas. It's also a leftover Chatas. Now what do you do with this animal? It will be brought as a Nadava, a voluntary offering. This is learned out from a Pasuk. Okay, fine. So that's the first set. Zeha Klal, the Mishnah says, there's a governing principle. Kol Shehu Ba L'Shem Chatas L'Shem Ashama. Anything that's coming for the address a sin or guilt. There's a different girsa that says l'shem chait, l'shem ashama. This is probably a better translation because chait means sin, chatas is the sin offering. Similarly, ashma means guilt, asham means guilt offerings. They should be used appropriately here. You've got chatas, which normally means sin offering, and ashma, which means guilt. But anyways, either the girsa is wrong, as there are many girsas that have just chait and ashma, and otherwise, it should be understood chatas means sin anyways. The point is, mosaran nadava. The excess money left over that's been consecrated, or the animal for that matter, has to be given as a nadava, as a voluntary offering, part of Keitz Mizbeach. Okay, now we're going to go to more conventional cases where the principle of if you have leftover money, you should apply it to the purpose for which it was set aside, can be fulfilled, because these are things that can be done more voluntarily. So you have mosar ola la'ola. If you have leftover money that was consecrated for purchasing an ola, holy offered burnt offering, and you have extra, so you have to use the leftovers also to purchase more ola. What would that mean? So if you haven't got enough money to buy a second animal, then you could buy a bird. And if you haven't got enough money even to buy a bird, it's a few pennies change, you just set it aside, and then you'll when you purchase your next ola, you'll put that money towards the ola. Okay. Mosar mincha la mincha. Same goes if you volunteer money to consecrate it with bringing a mincha, a meal offering. If it's leftover money, again, use it to buy another mincha or save it till the next time you buy a mincha. Mosar shlamim la shlamim. If you set aside money to bring a voluntary shlamim is a peace offering, If there's leftover money, you use the money to buy another shlamim when you can. Mosar Pesach l'shlamim. Now, if you have set aside money for a Korban Pesach, and you have extra, and it's been invested with Kedusha, so the extra money will be used to purchase a shlamim. Pesach is sort of like a subcategory of shlamim, but the basis of this, in truth, is learned out from a pasuk. It's actually a fairly complicated limud, which we won't get into right now. But the point is that based on a pasuk, we see if you have leftover money from Pesach, you buy shlamim, which is like shlamim and Pesach kind of first cousins one from the other, which would mean, again, the same kind of idea as I said before. Either you buy actual shlamim to be offered, or let's say, for example, the bialim of this Pesach died, then the Pesach, which is a Mosar Pesach, a leftover Pesach, will be offered as a shlamim. Okay. Mosar Nazirim l'Nazirim. This is a little different. Okay? So now, we're now transitioning away to something else. We're transitioning to a scenario where you have a Nazir. A Nazir is someone who commits to refrain from grape products, consuming grape products, from becoming exposed to corpse tumah, tmei meis, and from cutting his hair. Normally that's a 30-day commitment, although he could specify longer if he so chose. Now, at the end of that 30-day process, he shaves his hair and brings a series of korbanos. If along the way he becomes tamei, exposed to a corpse, even if he was allowed to be exposed to the corpse for whatever reason, so he still brings a different set of korbanos, also shaves his hair and starts again. In both cases, it has to be three animals, and involved in the animals, there's a chatas there. So if this scenario of our Mishnah is, according to most, like the Bartanura, we've got people collecting money to help this Nazir pay for his korbanos, whether they're the Nazir's korbanos that are coming because he got tamei in the middle or at the end of his process. Either way, we're donating to help him pay for his korbanos. So we have to differentiate between if we're setting aside money for the poor Nazir fund or for helping our friend Joe the Nazir pay for his korbanos. So, when it comes to, in general, the korbanos of a Nazir, so it's a little tricky in as much as the Nazir brings some fixed set of korbanos and not more than that. You can't bring extra Nazir korbanos, so we won't be able to just bring extra more of the same. We have to go back to the sort of same Nadava scenario, and it'll actually be halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that the Mosar of a Nazir is to Nadava. Extra money that's consecrated for bringing for a Nazir's offerings gets brought instead as Nadava, Ketan's Beach. But here in our Mishnah, at this point, we're considering two possibilities. Since it's a third party setting aside money for the sake of the Nazir, we have to clarify if it was this specific Nazir Joe, or if it was for the general fund of Nazirim who need money. If it was for the general fund of Nazirim who need money, and I was contributing to that fund, so then if there's leftover money, it'll be set aside for the next Nazir who needs money to purchase korbanos. If, however, I set aside the money for this specific guy, Joe, the Nazir, so then it's not fungible. You can't, like, transfer the money that's set aside for Joe's korbanos to someone else's korbanos, and therefore it has to go to Nadava. Again, halacha l'mosh m'sinai. That's what the Mishnah says here. Mosar Nazirim l'Nazirim. If you have money set aside for Nazirim in general, the Nazirim fund, and there's leftover extra money, so l'Nazirim, it'll be set aside for the next Nazir who needs money to purchase more korbanos for Nazir korbanos. But Mosar Nazir, if it's left over for a particular Nazir, one guy for whom money was set aside, so then l'Nadava, the money can't be brought for other Nazirim, nor for this guy, because how many Nazir just brings one set of korbanos, and therefore it'll be brought as a Nadava instead, Ketz Mizbeach. Okay, now the Mishnah will continue on to like a full transition, following along that line of thought, but now we're going to totally leave the area of korbanos. Okay, now we're going into, let's call it tzedakah. So tzedakah, in many ways, commitments to give tzedakah are treated a lot like korbanos, because they're sort of given by power of a vow, like a neder, and you're committing to give this money, and it has the status you kind of can't back away from it, but nothing. So that's the case. So now we're going to talk about when you commit to give money to a poor person and there's more than the need, what goes to the extra, what do you do with the extra money that was committed? So it kind of follows the same pattern as the Nazir case previously. Mosar aniyim la aniyim, mosar ani la oso ani. If you have extra money left over, you give money for the sake of poor people in your town. And, you know, there's a poor person who has some need, and that was the motivator of the collection, so you contributed towards it, but, you know, it wasn't the specific guy. So then the excess can be saved for the next poor person who needs the money. They'll set aside in a fund. But most are ani if you give money, tzedakah, for the needs of a specific poor person. In other words, this guy can't afford food for Shabbos, so there's a collection thing up for him. And, you know, the money they need for food for Shabbos costs $10, but they collected $11. So what do you do with the extra money? It goes to this guy. That extra dollar goes to him, and it'll be used to purchase money for him for whatever, for Monday or Tuesday. So, but it belongs to him. Since you've given it to him for his needs, like, he becomes the owner of it, and it can't go, you know, it goes to him anyways. That would be true even if he collected so much money that hypothetically he stopped being an ani. It would still be, since you gave it to him, and b'masachat, it's all collected together, so then it belongs to this guy. More than that, says the Mishnah, moser shavuyim l'shavuyim, moser shavuy l'oso shavuy. If you're redeeming captives, people have been kidnapped, and you're paying pidyon shavuyim, you're collecting money to redeem them, to ransom them. So, same principle applies. If you set aside money for the ransoming kidnapped people fund, so then the extra money that's not used for the ransoming can go to the next poor person who's kidnapped. But most are shavui if you give it to a particular, per behalf of a particular person's ransom, so then the extra money goes to that guy. So la'oso shavui, it goes to him, even though you're not doing it for his ransom anymore. In other words, the kidnappers wanted $100 ransom, and the $110 were collected, so the remaining $10 won't be used to ransom the fellow, but still it goes to the fellow himself. It goes to him because it was given, like, on his behalf to him, so he becomes like, the owner of it. Okay, and the last case of the Mishnah here is going to talk about what happens if you give money for the sake of a dead person. Now, a dead person, of course, can't really acquire something you commit to his behalf. So the question is what to do with the money. So here the case is you have a person who's died. There's not enough money to pay for his burial. So there's a collection that is taken up to help pay for a proper burial for this person. So there's, and let's say that their burial costs are $100 and end up being $110 are collected. So what do you do with the remaining $10? So there are basically two possibilities. Either it can go to him anyways, meaning it will go to make to his like burial in addition, like you'll pay for an extra gravestone or a better gravestone or bigger gravestone, etc. Or no, it should go to his heirs, his yorshim. The idea is that since there is a bezion, like a disgrace to this fellow for having to collect money from after burial to bury him properly, so he doesn't want the extra money for his kavod. He'll be mochel. He'll forgive the affront to his honor, the bezion, the disgrace, if his inheritors benefit from it, and therefore he wants the money to go to his heirs in exchange for like a you know, forgiveness of the affront to his honor. So that's the second possibility, just go to his heirs. Of course, the Mishnah has three opinions what should happen, despite the fact there's only two possibilities. Either it goes to the heirs, it goes to him, or we're not sure what to do with it, so it sits around until Eliyahu and Avi comes to tell us what to do. And that's what the Mishnah says here. The first shita is, Mosar HaMesim LaMesim. If you set aside money for the burial of dead in general, so then it can sit in the, you know, the burial for the dead fund, you know, that will be, you know, sitting aside for when it's needed. Chaver Kaddish will maintain it, whatever the story is. Mosar HaMeis, however, if you give money for a specific person, Joe, who died, and there's more money than it's needed that initially was, you know, budgeted for the burial, LeYorshav, the excess should go to his heirs. That's a ton of Kamashita, and that's going to be the halacha. However, Rabbi Meir is not so sure. Rabbi Meir says, wait a second, maybe he's not going to be mochel with a few dollars that go to his heirs. Maybe he's not mochel at all. The community should have arranged things better, and how could they leave him to have this, you know, be humiliated after death? And therefore, he's not going to be mochel by the giving to his heirs, and therefore he wants it for his own covet, for himself. And so you don't know what to do, whether to give it to the heirs or to put towards his burial further. So therefore, Reb Meir is stuck. So therefore, he says, Mosar ha-meisi he-munach ad-shiyavo Eliyahu. The extra money set aside for the burial of this fellow should sit aside until Eliyahu Hanavi comes and tells us what to do. According to Reb Meir, just to illustrate the point, since we don't, it's a question, it's not a din, it has to sit aside. It's that we don't know what to do. So if hypothetically the heirs would agree that what should be done with the money, what they want to do with the money is to put it towards, you know, building, you know, a nicer grave or, you know, whatever it is, funeral procedures for the deceased, so then there's no suffix anymore. either it's for his honor or they say do it for his honor. So since then, even Rav Meir would agree that you put the money towards the funeral proceedings or purchasing a better gravestone, etc. And the third shita is Rabbi Nasan Omer, Mosar Hamais. If you have extra money that was contributed towards the burial of Joe, a specific dead person, Bonin Lo Nefesh Al Kivro, what you do is use the money to purchase a nefesh, which is like a mausoleum or a gravestone, or whatever the story is, extra, you know, towards his honor in his death, not to the children, because he won't be mochel, and he's not mochel, that's what it's there for his honor. Again, the halacha is like the Tanakama, so it goes to the heirs. But with all these last cases, and we're talking about setting aside money for pigeon shuim, for poverty-stricken people, for burial of the dead, and so on. So the halacha is, like we just said, however, an important halachic lemaisa caveat, if people are giving money to the collectors, and there's an organization that administers the affairs of the city, like a shivat tuva ha'ir, you know, like a whatever, a board that's in charge and authorized, so then the assumption is halacha lemaisa, the poskim say that when the person gave the contribution, they had in mind that, like, you know, the board, the shivat tuva ha'ir, those people who are in charge of things, should make the decisions, and therefore they would have the authority to redirect the fund if there was extra. So what they saw was the best use of the extra leftover communal funds.